Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. On today's sermon, Pastor Walker will be teaching from his series entitled Deep Rest. As a Christian, your life should not feel complicated. Jesus calls, "Come to me, for all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's listen as Pastor Walker shares how you can handle the demands of the world with joy and face life's challenges with peace in your heart. Now here's Pastor Walker with today's sermon.
Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts now that we may understand what it is and get what it is when you have said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, by your Spirit, open our hearts to receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we come to one of the closing sections in this study that we've been on for the last several weeks. Permission to unload and refusal to reload. Permission to unload what you don't have to carry that's been wearing you out in the process of trying to carry it. And the refusal to reload, learning how not to get back under the burdens that have been wearing us out. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," he broke it out into two parts, two pieces, two groups of all. All of us who would be in the process of right now fielding a whole bunch of ground balls, grounded ball, trying to keep all these plates spinning in the present tense. And we're worn out by the pressure of that. That's one group, present tense. The other group is those who have had burdens, loads, stuff put on them in the past. But the effect of it, the weight of it, maybe even the sorrow of it, continues to the present day, and it has an effect that is grievous and debilitating and paralyzing even to this day. Come to me, all of you who are weary. It doesn't matter what kind of source that the weariness has come from, whether it was outside of the church or inside of the church, whether it was before you knew Jesus or after you've come to know him. But weary people, weighted down, burdened people, Jesus says, "You come to me, and I'll give you rest." So today, permission to unload. I want to give you two or three verses of Scripture as we begin, just to set the stage, just as some foundation, starting point. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. And this is the Amplified Version's translation of this verse. "But we have," speaking of the church, speaking of those who have received Christ into our hearts, not just playing a religious game, not just trying to keep commandments, quit doing the bad, start doing the right, but we have received Jesus Christ personally into our hearts to be our Savior, to be our rescuer, and to be the one who directs our lives. He is alive within us, Paul will say, "But we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart in our hearts." Read that again. "But we have the mind of Christ." We have working within inside us the thinking of Jesus Christ. The way he thinks now is working inside us. "And we hold to the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart." More personally, hold to the purposes, feelings, and thoughts of his heart toward me, of his heart toward you. How heaven really thinks about you, works inside you, because you have the mind of Christ informing your brain on what the truth is about who you really are. That's important. It's important as we come back to this thing of burdens and loads that I don't have to carry, that people or circumstances have put on me that I can, if I'm not careful, stay under the load of. But in reality, I don't have to, you don't have to carry them anymore. But we have the mind of Christ and do hold to the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of His heart at work in our hearts. The second verse is out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit. The invisible presence of Jesus is the Spirit of Jesus. The invisible presence of Jesus. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of Jesus is at work, the Spirit of Jesus is at work setting people free. I believe the older I get, the more I look at the Scripture and more I sense things that would happen in my own life and see it happening in other people's lives who know the Lord. It just seems as if the main work of the Spirit of Jesus in the life of a Christian as time goes on is the work of freedom, setting us free. You say, but I'm going to church. I'm a part of a church. Well, that may be the biggest, one of the biggest bondages that you'll ever have to deal with. The bondage of religion, of keeping up with what can be some arbitrary expectations and external forms and patterns. I feel like that has been true to a large degree in my life, Shirley's life, and a number of you that we've known, that the Lord will work His work of freedom to set us free from religion and into a relationship with Him. He is not a list of rules. He is not a list of you better do this or you better not do that. And all these expectations, He is infinitely more wonderful than a cotton-picking list of rules. He's a person. And He's the lover of your soul. And He knows the kinds of things that we are prone to be held captive by. And so He works by His Spirit to set us free. Now, it's not natural shackles necessarily. It's not bondages that you can see, but it is bondages in the way we think. Being held captive by things that have been said about us, said to us, lines of logic that can work inside of us that are holding us captive. And He wants to set us free. And I believe when Jesus will say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, weary and overloaded by bondages that people have put on, and some of that of just restrictions, unnecessary restrictions that He, when He gets to working in your life, He'll just break those shackles. He'll break those things off of you. And you're free. Free to think a new way. Free to feel in a new way. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There is freedom. Freedom is attractive. Freedom draws folks, draws us into it. But the person who would pursue a life of freedom is just going to have to be prepared to let go of some stuff that have been perhaps familiar to you. A jail cell can be familiar. A prison can become familiar. He's come to set the captive free. With that in mind, let me offer to you four types of burdens that you and I don't have to carry. Permission to unload these burdens. First one, burdens, loads put on us by those who have come after us. Words spoken, you don't have what it takes. Words spoken, you're a failure, you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything. Now, the problem is that that sometimes hits us when we're small, right? When we're little. And we don't have enough of a frame of reference to even question whether they're right or wrong. So we can grow up with the sense, I don't have what it takes because my dad didn't think I had what it takes. Or my mother didn't think what I had. Or this strong influence on my life when I was younger, that's how they thought about me. Therefore, it must be true. What would you be today? What would you attempt today? Who would you be today if you were free of the burden of words and impressions that were put on you when you were younger? Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's one category. Another one would be the burdens that come from those who require of us, require things from us. That can come in a lot of different forms. Requiring you to be something, requiring you to do something, holding up a level of expectation for you to achieve, requiring of you. What kind of person, what would you pursue professionally, what would you be doing with your life if you weren't laboring under the burden of somebody else's requirements for you? Am I in here by myself this morning, y'all? Okay. So we have folks who put burdens on us because they just come after us for something. Burdens that are put on us because of ones who require certain things of us. A third group would be the burdens that can be put on us by those who would blame us, hold us responsible for. Fourth group can be burdens that come upon us for things that have left us afraid. Afraid. Anxious. Fretting. Worried. If you put it all, cooked it all down into kind of one common pot. Anxiety, being anxious, flows from a place of being afraid of something, afraid of the consequences, afraid of what might happen if this didn't get taken care of. But things that have left us afraid. To understand what it is to have the mind of Christ and how he thinks about you and who you are to him can make all the difference in the world as to whether or not we will allow ourselves to stay under the burden of these things. Let's look at the first one, just in passing as we go through it. For those who have come after you, you and I need to get this. They are not God. That when they spoke, when they conveyed, you don't have what it takes, You're a failure. shaming us with what they would perceive to be our lacks or inadequacies, they are not talking for God. Even though they may be a dad, they may be a coach, they may be a professor, they may be a friend, they may be a family member, they are not God. And in fact, they can even be used as a spokesman for Satan himself. That if Satan somehow knows what you could be, he has an inkling of what you might be, mightily used in the hand of God. Why wouldn't he try to shut you down and cut you off before you ever got started with the rest of your life by helping you believe that you're of no consequence, that you don't have what it takes, that you should be ashamed of how little and how ineffective and how useless you are? That's not the voice of God. I want to show you a passage that I hope you'll take some time to look at. This is in the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and into verse 5. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but he saved us according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. If the voice that came to you, if the voices that formed you and shaped you, and they were with some sort of an authoritarian or authority kind of a perspective, and they left you obliterated, they left you crushed, they left you not wanting to try, then I submit to you, you take what you felt from those voices and from that influence, and you compare it with what the Word of God says God's heart for you is, which is first, kindness towards you, not meanness towards you. I need to be happy, happy face here. Kindness, but kindness instead of meanness. Friendship, it says here, it's an amazing thing, the way that this is phrased. His love for mankind, when his love for mankind appeared, it's not the word agape, not the highest form of love. It's the word for friendship, phileo, friendship. The Lord's heart is kind towards you, but his heart is to become friends with you. Even with folks who would never come to know him, his heart is still for friendship with the human race, friendship with mankind. That's awesome. But if we've grown up in a place where it seemed like nobody wanted to be our friend, where the whole tone was anything but kindness, and last of all, his mercy. Mercy was never extended toward us. Mercy wasn't even a topic. That voice, that influence was not of God. And I want to just shout it as loud as I can, flail my arms as much as it would help, to say to you, if you have been crushed, if you have been contained, if you have been smothered, if you have been pressed back into some containment on the basis of what somebody who did not love you the way God loves you, who did not show kindness towards you the way your father feels towards you, who didn't want to be a friend with you in the way that your father wants to be a friend with you, then you have not been shaped by the voice of God. And don't live another day under the influence of those lies. It is a burden, it is a weight that you don't have to carry. The scripture says it is the truth that will set us free. Without a major, massive, knock you out for 5 hours, slain in the spirit experience with the Lord, just the reality of this truth, the ones who were talking to me that way, though they were my father, though they were my mother, though they were somebody really smart or really rich or really important, if I left being around them feeling like I was fatally flawed, there was no reason for me to expect to give anything other than just eking out an existence that would come from my time with them, for me to understand, for you to understand, for you to get it today. That was not the heart of God toward me. He feels and is exactly the opposite. Hallelujah. And I don't have to let myself shoulder the weight of those opinions anymore. What would you be like? Who would you be if you were not having to look out from under the cusp of somebody's opinions about you that have influenced how you feel about you? What kind of person would you be? What kind of mountain would you dare to climb? What kind of smile would be on your face? What kind of hope for the future would there be if this weight was somehow taken over? Jesus says, come to me and I will give you. Remember the word? The heart of the word for rest is permission. I will give you permission to cease from that labor. That's what he meant. I give you permission to lay down that burden that's wearing you out. But folks, listen, nobody else can do this work for you. And I'm telling you, if you just treat this like some little fill-in-the-blank message and underline a few verses, write down a few words, and walk out of here without it impacting your heart, that's your fault. Because I believe the Lord's wanting to say, you don't have to keep living that way. You don't have to take another step believing that you're less than dirt, less than an animal, nothing. Because I don't see you in that way. Kindness and mercy and a desire to be a friend with you. So as you ponder, as you look at, do I get back under that load again? Do I get back under that load again? The Lord would say, you don't have to reload. You got permission to unload. Second one, for those who would require of you, not just those who would come after you, but here's another type of load, another type of burden, for those who would require of you. In the first group, we said, understand they are not God. Therefore, when they speak, they're not speaking for God. With the second group, you need to understand you are not God. For people who require of you, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, and all-loving, and you and I are none of the above. They say, you know, and we need to just stop saying this. We need to get it out of our vocabulary. I'll always be there for you. They'll be mad at you on two counts. Number one, you weren't there at all the time because you croaked or you moved or you did something. And then the second thing they're going to be mad at you is they're going to be mad at you for lying to them that you would be there. So don't say it. That's a God quality. He is everywhere, all at the same time. Now, we can want to be, and we can hope to be, and we can want to be available to those who would need us at the time of their need. But you are not God. And trying to be God and play God in folks' lives will wear you out. You say, well, it just seems to be such a noble cause. Noble causes can wear you out. Because you don't know everything the ones you care about really need. You don't know and always how to counsel them, how to be wisdom for them. You don't have the resources to provide all of their needs. But if somehow we allow ourselves to be elevated into the position of the practical God, the God of this world, in a sense, being used, that they can come to you. Well, the problem with our fallenness is that sometimes we like that. We like the sense that we're needed. And then we go, this is just so hard on me. I just don't know why I'm so tired. They just need me. But you foster them needing you. You facilitate their needing you. Bail them out of every ticket. Bail them out of every time they get thrown in jail. I've gone to meddling now. Decided that the father of the prodigal son had it all wrong when he waited for the boy to come home. He didn't chase him down. He didn't go trying to bail him out of everything. He let him fall off the cliff and break his nose. Humiliated, destitute in a far country, not in connection with anybody, but, and the father let him do it. And then when the boy came home, the boy was ready to come home. You are not God. You are not God. I'm their mother. You are not God. I'm the father. I'm the uncle. I'm the brother. You are not God. And it can be an enabling process that doesn't help them and wears you out and depletes your funds that could have been used on something else because you feel drawn into their requirements of you. Where'd you get that? Where'd that come from? Well, it has to be right because I need to care for them. There is something called soulish mercy that is just as much a sin in the sight of God as having no mercy. It's mercy that comes solely from a place of feeling sorry for and feeling this sense that I've got to do whatever I can do to alleviate the sorrow and the pain and the suffering, regardless of whether they've learned a lesson in the process. I just don't want them squalling. I just don't want them hurting. I just don't want them hungry. Soulish mercy is as much a sin as no mercy. Boy, it got real quiet at that point. But here's the deal. How is soulish mercy working for you? How's it working for you? Is the object of the mercy being affected? Are you going on in rest? Are you watching things depleted and watching your energy shot? What if the Lord would say, I love you every bit as I love the one you're worried about. I want you to rest. I'll take care of this. You trust me. I am God. You are not. I'm good at it. You'll fail at it. Trust me. Trust me. You mean... And I've really had this spoken back to me by folks who the Lord just blessed a mom or a dad or a spouse with this peace that just didn't make any sense. And they would come and they'd say, Pastor, I feel guilty. Nothing has been fixed. Nothing has been changed out there. But I got a peace in my heart. And I feel guilty about it, to which I want to say, you better watch what you ask for, child. If the Lord's given you peace and he's still working on their situation, go with your peace, honey. Go with your peace. That's just a confirmation that he has got it. He is working. If he's working in you, he's working in there. You let him do what he chooses in the way he chooses. For those who require of you, the only way you don't reload is if you understand you are not God, you are not supposed to be God, and you can trust him to be God. Now, I told you that unless the Holy Spirit can help us with this, we're going to leave here frustrated and pulling our hair out, and I just can't do it. Well, you can't do that. I can't do that. We can't do it. That's why he said, the peace you're going to get, the peace is going to have to come from me. You can't generate this peace in your heart. You just come to me weary and worn out and loaded down, and I will give you what you don't have. I will give you what you can't manufacture. I will give you what is not native to you. Supernatural, unexplainable, beyond reason, rest for your soul. All right, number three. Number three, for those who have loaded you up, blaming you. Blaming you. Here's what we need to think along those lines. Failure is a fact, but it is not final. You're on a different road now, thank God, by the grace of God, and a different road will take you to a different destination. What you are guilty of, the measure of the blame that is yours, own it. Embrace it. Accept it. I'm guilty. Confess it. Confess it to the Lord. But then receive from Him the forgiveness and the release that He gives. You see, probably it is true in the situation where you may be being blamed. It's probably not all your fault. Now, it may be some your fault, but more than likely, it's not all your fault. And failure, though it is a fact of living in this life, it is not final. And if you're coming out of a situation where there was failure or where there was a blaming, continuing blaming of the load of that failure on your life, and it can cause you to not want to try again. It can cause you to second guess yourself so much that you wouldn't dare again. What if the truth of this is in Titus 3, as it says, the mercy of God displayed towards you? The mercy of God is to express the power of God to remove the consequences of sin, the consequences of our sin. The Lord can do that. People can't do that. But the Lord can do that. You failed, but by the grace of God, you are not a failure. Do you hear me? You blew it, but you're not, in God's eyes, nothing but a loser. But if that is the weight that you've come away from some of those things carrying that, then its effect can be to wither us emotionally, to not ever want to try again, not ever want to step out, not ever want to dare again, not ever want to risk. And that's a load that we don't have to get back under. What could it be like if you were released, you felt it off of you, that what you have been blamed for, you have been forgiven of. And what you were blamed for, that you were guilty of, you admitted that you were guilty of aspects of that, but you've taken that to the Lord, and as far as He's concerned, your record is clear. You've been forgiven. Snow White, not one of the seven dwarves, but Snow White, clean, pure. Okay, the last one is this: loaded down for things that have left you afraid. Afraid. Now, again, that's the general term, but it includes anxiety, stress, the things that make us fret, the things that keep us up at night, the things that bother us, that worry us, that are a load. Just right now, can you imagine what your life would be like if you weren't having to worry about X? Whatever the X would be, you, that's your blank to fill in. If that wasn't a part of the equation, the felt equation of your emotional load, what might life be like? I want you all to find this passage of Scripture, and we'll finish with this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul is writing from jail, from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit, your ability to put up with stuff, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't left your spot of the globe to be somewhere else. He's not preoccupied with somebody else. The Lord is at hand right where you are. And then he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now watch this. And the peace of God, which can also be translated, and the rest of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what do I do with the anxieties that can weight me down, the worries, the fears that can weight me down? Here's what Paul says. It's in the imperative mood. Be anxious for nothing. He's saying, I command you, the Lord commands you to be anxious for nothing. And the word for nothing is a souped up word in the original language that means absolutely nothing. No category left uncovered. Be anxious for nothing. There is no category of potential worry that you have permission to be anxious about. That's how strong this is. So if I'm not to be anxious about anything, then what am I to do and what are you to do? Now look, if you've been in church since before the earth's crust hardened, okay, and you've read these verses 9,345,000 times, I dare you to look at this verse one more time, family. The Lord didn't waste words. He didn't waste time getting it down. That the command, a command in Scripture is a promise in Scripture. If he's saying, I command you not to be anxious, it is also a promise that he will enable you not to be anxious. But in everything by prayer, the things that you would be anxious about, that's included in everything. In everything by prayer, that means, that's a general term for prayer. It's always to God, but it includes praise. It includes declaration. It includes worship of all kinds. It also can include petition. But it's the general term for a believer being in communion with his Father or with her Savior. That communion going on. Whatever, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication means specific, even minute, requests. Line item, very specific, nothing left for the imagination. Paul is saying, instead of you letting the weight of these things that worry you bring you down and wear you out, you take the minutia as well as the magnitude of it and you take it to the Lord. Every time the worry comes up, it is to be a trigger for you to take it to the Lord so that the Lord isn't worn out and you're not worn out. But if you keep carrying it and you won't take it to him, it wears you out and his help is not resourced to the degree that he would want it to be resourced. He will use the places of our anxiety. He'll use the places of our worry. He'll use the places of our fear as a means of tightening up our relationship with him. Now watch what happens. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, the peace of God, the rest of God, we take it, We take it to Him. We keep taking, every time it comes up, we take it to Him. We don't let it rest. We don't let it stay on us. We just keep taking it to Him. The big wad, the minutia. I keep taking it to Him. Whenever it comes into my brain, I don't keep it, I take it to Him. You hear that? I don't field it. I just pass it on. I don't even have to catch it. It just goes right through my legs. Like I missed the grounder. But then it says, and the peace of God, the rest of God, which passes all comprehension. It means that the peace, the rest, won't make sense to you. The ability to rest, the ability to walk in peace, it can't be comprehended because it's a supernatural bestowal. It's a manifestation of the power of God in a practical way in your precious life because He wants you to know that you are more important to Him than any of the burdens that you may be voicing to Him. He wants you well. He wants you healthy. He wants you rested. And the peace of God, which doesn't make any sense, look at the next part, shall guard your hearts and your minds. There would be no need for our hearts to be guarded by peace if everything about the things that we were concerned about was already taken care of, right? So the only reason there would need to be a protection for our hearts is if the situation probably hasn't changed one bit yet. Do you hear me? Or do you hear this? You wouldn't need it to be beyond mental comprehension if you could see how it's worked out. But if it hasn't worked out yet, and you got the joy of the Lord inside you, you've got peace inside you, you have a sense of steadiness inside you, you go home and sleep, you're not worn out all the time, then that's something to talk about. Peace that passes all comprehension shall garrison your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. My brother and my sister, believe it or not, God has the ability to settle your heart, give peace to the insides of you, and it to be a felt manifestation inside you. Even when the things that are worrying you to death right now haven't yet been straightened out. You see, a problem can be that we so tie our peace of mind to what we can see in the natural. Are we the people that we're good about ourselves if the people we can hear are speaking nice things of us? But what if they never change their tune? What if their opinion of what a loser you are never changes? Will you be forever crippled by knowing that their opinion was X? You don't have to be. You can realize that they weren't speaking the truth. I read the book. I'm in it. And there's some things spoken about me and his heart for me that my earthly father, my earthly mother didn't have a clue of. I choose this. I choose this as my authority. Whether they ever fix it in their opinion or not. And whether the situations that worry me ever get straightened out, I'm choosing, I'm learning how to not reload. And my choosing how to not reload is that every time an anxious, worryful, fretful thought comes in my mind, I just take it to Jesus. I just take it to Jesus. In everything, by prayer, great big prayer, supplication, minutia, the little things that can worry you to death, take them all. That's what supplication means. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will protect. protect your heart. Guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now see, folks say, I've tried that and it didn't work. Okay. Let's just do a little experiment this week. Let's put a clock to how much the worrying, fretting, fearful thoughts have been bugging you. And they just stayed there and you processed them and you sat with them. You tried to deal with it best you could, but it was still there, all right? That's one chunk of time. Over here is how much time did we spend? How much time did we spend taking the burden here and giving it to the Lord right here? How often do you do it? It's present active. It means continuously. It means if you don't want to be anxious, then you continuously said, and that's present tense, don't be continuously anxious, but here's what you do. You offer up to the Lord in prayer and supplication. As continuous as the worrying has been, so continuous as the giving to God should be. Is that work? No, that it's just a new way of processing it. It's that here comes the worry, and instead of it staying here and doing this to me, wearing me out, instead of this, I give it this way. You say, I don't think that'll work. Well, would you just please try it and quit arguing? Would you just please try it this week? Would you just try it this week? Would you just try it this week? You say, well, I'm still worried. Well, just keep giving it to him. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me and just keep giving it to him. You come back in the next week and we'll know something's different with some of you. You'll be happy and smiling and you just try to probably go off to sleep in the worship. Just sound asleep. What would we be if we weren't under the weight of stuff that people and circumstances would put on us? And Jesus would say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you permission to cease from your labor. Permission to not reload. In this sense. How are we doing? Okay? Okay. Prayer partners, would you make your way this way, please, as we close our time together? And I want to say this one more time, please, that I hope to goodness you're not sitting there thinking, I just wish that my spouse could hear this. I just so wish that my boss was able to be here. And let me see if I can get a tape and, surreptitiously sneak it under the door. And you can't do anybody's work for themselves. But what if the people who are broken and their brokenness is affecting you and your peace of mind? What if the Lord's first order was not to fix them, but to help you? Well, his heart would be there, but sometimes we get that all. We get to telling God how to do it. God, you get this straightened out. You get that, and then that's going to be peace of mind. Well, what if it doesn't happen then? What are you saying? Your peace is your right now. Your rest that I want you to have comes from me, not by way of some circumstance working out. It comes from me. I bestow it. I give it. Even now. Lord, wherever we are this morning, wherever we are, would you have mercy upon your children? Would you demonstrate, Lord, in your mercy, the power of your promises to us? Would you bless us, Lord, with a supernatural peace and rest in the specific places where we are the most troubled. Jesus, you are our Savior. You are the one who rescues us. And we look to you to rescue us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.